Welcome back to the Chronically Positive Podcast. I'm your host, Isla Oxford, and season two is all about relationships and chronic illness. Today's episode is a little special because I went to Italy. When you're traveling with a chronic illness, it's not just about picking a destination. It's about what to pack, flight accommodations, medications, hydration. The list goes on. So I'm going to take you guys with me to my trip to Italy to show you what went down when I went down and everything you need to know when it comes to traveling with a chronic illness. Now let's head over to me in my childhood bedroom packing for the trip. Also, I would highly recommend watching this episode on YouTube. The link is in the description below. So one of my biggest things when traveling is food. I have a very limited diet, as many people with chronic illnesses do. So let me show you what we're working with. It's very likely that I will not be able to eat any of the meals served on the plane. So I'm gonna cut to a clip real quick of me and my dad preparing a way for me to get some protein. We're now in the kitchen.
Right.
So Dad, what are we making today?
Well, this is to inform people on some ideas we've come up with because we're all going away on a trip overseas, and we haven't traveled since Isla got really sick. And one of the things, as you know, with MCAS and those things, it's very limited in what you can take. And so here we're going to be on planes for a long time. And so we were trying to think of foods that could last without being preserved or refrigerated or anything. And I had an idea about jerky, like making some chicken jerky. And
because I most likely won't be eating the meals that they're providing on those flights, and I need protein options.
Right. And one of the things is for this trip is to kind of look at all the things that might be challenges and not let them stop us. So we're going to still explore and find food and yummy things. But if we don't, we're going to have something that no matter what, Isla can have some protein and just enjoy her day and not have to U-turn and whatever. So, but of course, as you know, jerkies and a lot of these cured meats, they have all kinds of preservatives or things that can be challenging. So I thought we could make our own. So, chicken and a food dehydrator. Genius. And all I did is I modified some of the recipes and just did apple cider vinegar, which Isla tolerates, and honey and some salt. Anyway, and this is going to be, then I got, well, once this is all done, I'm going to vacuum pack it. I researched. We got these little vacuum bags. This is supposed to last for 2 to 3 weeks unrefrigerated. So we'll check back in 2 to 3 weeks and see if that's actually true.
I'm not sick.
Anyway, so we'll show you how this looks once it's all dried out, right?
Yes.
Ready for travel.
Back to the program.
Back to the program. Trey, we won.
Okay. Kind of cool, right? My dad thought of it and it was such a good idea. So let's go over to the suitcase of food. So this is all food and chronic illness necessities. So as you saw in the last clip, the chicken jerky we were making, we have put it in vacuum sealed packs. This is like over 100 grams of protein. So if I can't eat anything on the plane, we'll be traveling for about 24 hours. I'm good. You know, I've got the protein. I struggle with hypoglycemia episodes and I usually have applesauce or apple juice. Applesauces, I traveled to Florida a couple months ago. They explode on the plane. So I got some freeze-dried blueberries, which are super high in sugar and carbs. Great for low blood sugar. For snacks, cassava chips. These are just plain cassava, coconut oil, and Himalayan salt. Very plain and clean. Also for low blood sugar, baked apples. So yum. These are also very high in sugar and carbs for any emergent hypoglycemia episodes. So I usually have about 2 coconut waters a day. My potassium, for some reason, just does not stay up high enough unless I have 2 coconut waters a day. Can't bring those with me. So we actually got powdered coconut water. Well, it's not powdered. I mean, it's not water, but it turns in, you put it in your water and you get the same thing as if you were to buy a coconut water. So now I have, these are all my salts. They are 1,000 milligrams of sodium per packet, Element Tea. I love it. I also have my Buoy Rescue Drops, which are just in my immediate purse. So I have this, two massive bags of them. And then also for low blood sugar, I have these Singular Honey Packs that are really good. And then also is a new thing. These are bone broth powders that are 10 grams of protein. One thing for me that's really important on this trip, if there's nothing I can eat, I have to make sure I get the protein I need. And so this is all the ingestible stuff. Next thing that's coming with me is this Stanley holder. Yes, I'm a Stanley girl now. I love that it holds a lot more than my other water bottle. I love the straw. I can mix my powders with the straw. I gave in and I do love it. But my Rollator doesn't have a cup holder, unfortunately. But I found this holder. And if you're not watching, it's like this crossbody that you can put your Stanley in. And you can wear it like a little purse. All right, so you tuck it in, put your phone right in there, zip it up. You can put a credit card, cash, whatever you want. Then you want to sip. And then the cutest part is this little straw cover, because you know what? You don't want nasties on the tip of your straw. So cute. I love this. Okay, next is this air filter. I have MCAS, which makes me very sensitive to fragrances, chemicals, yada yada. So basically, you put it on around your neck. This is called a respiray. It's basically like a portable filter that you wear around your neck. So if we're on the plane and if someone has a service dog or a cat or something, it will help diminish, you know, the dander, or if there's someone who's wearing a Febreze or whatever, smell, and hopefully reduce my risk of an allergic reaction. So now let's go through what's going to be on me at all times flying through the airport. So first things first, of course, medication. Every pill bottle. I do not count out the days because, God forbid, something happens and we get stuck. I need as much meds as possible because I cannot function without my medication. As I said, mast cell, tons of Benadryl. I know Benadryl isn't great for you, but if you're on a plane having an allergic reaction, only a few options. EpiPens. I have my Buoy Rescue Drops. Super easy to squirt into my drinks. Like I showed before, all of the dried fruit snacks, the freeze-dried blueberries, cassava chips, baked apples, and the chicken jerky, as well as I will be taking two coconut waters. Not sure how I'm getting through security with that, but my dad says he has a plan. Well, you'll see what happens when we get there. Because there will be food and liquid in this bag that is medically necessary for me to have, I'm going to attach this medical equipment inside badge. And they usually just don't really question you or give you a hard time when this is on your bag. And there you go. That is pretty much all the necessities of the packing. But there are a few more gadgets that I will show you once we get to the airport and on the plane that I don't want to, they're very, very packed in, that I don't want to pull out and show you, but you will see them in action. So I will catch you all at the airport. So I didn't want to record security while they are going through the stuff, but basically it went through very smoothly. They saw the tag, no really questions asked. I was able to bring everything that I packed and it was really easy. This is really claustrophobic. We're on the plane. There's like a billion seats with a billion people. Okay, well, the people aren't here yet.
But it feels like it.
We have a full flight. People listening to this as a podcast, this episode makes no sense. Because I've literally just gone from security to
maybe
the plane.
You were on the train a little bit.
Yeah, it's
planes, trains, and automobiles. Did you get anything in the car?
No. These are so upright. Do these recline at all?
Maybe it'll montage together better. They do go back. Go back. Push.
Is anyone behind me? Oh, better make it like it is so they don't think it's it.
It's not bad. It's like you slept for 2 years.
What?
And you slept like sitting up for like...
Oh, in my bed.
Yeah,
but your feet were up.
All right, we'll come back when I'm having a panic attack. Okay, so I think I'm going to do voiceover for the rest of this video. So for the people listening, it'll just make a lot more sense. Anyways, right now what you can see is me having a pre-panic attack before we take off. I have not flown much since I've been sick. And the idea of being trapped on a plane for 6+ hours is really getting to me. My parents are great, though. They're very distracting and they're funny. And I love them so much. They definitely helped me out. So when the plane took off, I was very anxious, but I was okay. And then about an hour in, I got incredibly nauseous. The turbulence was next level. And of course, I thought that meant that we were crashing. Actually, I think in this video, you can see the turbulence. The camera's actually shaking. I'm talking to my dad, asking him, is this normal? He's like, yes, turbulence is normal. I'm trying to breathe it out, as you can see in my face. And this is when I start to get pretty nauseous, and I'm starting to worry, am I going to be nauseous for this entire flight? I wasn't, but for about an hour, my mom was rubbing my back, and I was pretty sure I was going to throw up. I didn't throw up. I watched this really cute cartoon about rain to keep my mind off of things. It helped a little bit, and, well, maybe it didn't. I look very uncomfortable in this footage. Wow, I did not realize the faces I was making. If you're watching this video, I look ridiculous. I'm going through every emotion. It looks like sadness, fear, and nausea all in one go. I wish I remembered what I was talking about here. I don't even think I remembered I was filming. But anyways, so for the 6 hours of the flight, we left at 10 p.m. I did not sleep one lick of the night. And when we got to our layover was 2 hours, and I didn't sleep, and then we got on our next flight, I didn't sleep. So at this point, I'd been awake for almost 24 hours, and it was not feeling great. When I got off the plane, it felt like the ground was moving consistently under me, like it was rumbling under me. It was a very bizarre feeling, and I think it was a mixture of the turbulence and just being overtired. These were feelings I was not expecting to have, and that's one thing that you always have a concern with chronic illness. You don't know how certain things are going to affect your body. But when we finally made it to Italy and I looked outside, I kind of got choked up because I never thought that I would be able to travel to this extent with the state of the illnesses that I have at the moment. And I just felt so good about myself and so blessed that I have a family that is so supportive to help me get here. I truly believe that there's always a way to find a way to adapt, and this trip has just totally proved that, and I'm just feeling on top of the world right now. Please enjoy this photo of me and my dad while we transition to our first day in Italy. So, we're in the Airbnb. I know I have not vlogged much since then. The flight was really rough. I was incredibly nauseous and fainty for the second half of it. And on our second flight, this one woman was wearing the strongest perfume. So I'm currently in a little bit of a MCAS flare. My throat is swollen, itchy, etc. I haven't been filming because honestly, it has just been so stressful. So let me just fill you in. We got to our Airbnb. There were plugins everywhere. We reached out beforehand asking about fragrances, plugins. They said there weren't. They were everywhere. So we had to take all of them out. I'm pausing here because those were actually not plugins. They were mosquito repellents. So every single morning I woke up with more and more bites on my face. Here's a video of it. It was tragic and they itched and I still have one left on my eyelid. But you know, sometimes stuff happens like this because you have to be so cautious with a chronic illness. Sometimes it bites you in the ass.
Okay, back to the program.
The place is just really old. It's stunning, and I will show pictures of it. Maybe I'll put it over while I'm talking of what this place looks like. It's stunning, but it is old and there's mold on the walls. The mattresses are like centuries old, but I'm just trying to remember how grateful I am to even be here. I didn't think that I would ever travel again, so I'm just feeling really blessed. Anyways, so I'm getting ready for the day, feeling a little not great, but that is the update, and I'll catch you at the next thing.
Okay, so we're back in the studio. Let's run through every single day. We're going to be sifting through the footage together, so here we go. The first day, we went to the Uffizi Gallery. Also, if I'm pronouncing things wrong, please don't come for me. This is one of the most famous museums in the world, and because I had my mobility aid and said that I had a disability, we were able to skip the line entirely. Inside, the art was beautiful, but the accessibility was surprisingly good. There were elevators to every floor, which isn't always the case in places this old. We had a private tour guide, and I'm so glad we did, because she knew where all the elevators were, how to navigate the crowds, and just made the experience a lot less stressful and so much more doable. If you're traveling with a disability, I cannot recommend enough to get a tour guide, because they will take care of you and make sure that you are going to all the most accessible places. So the next morning, we visited the Duomo. Once again, they let us skip the line. No guide this time. We kind of just wandered around and took in the view. Later, we went to a restaurant for lunch that offered the entire menu gluten-free, which is something that I have never experienced in America. The next day, we went to Pisa. So the Leaning Tower of Pisa was not accessible. There was no elevator, but I'm not surprised because that thing was literally leaning over. So how would you put an elevator in there? I don't know. My brother and my dad walked it, and they said there was a defibrillator at every 20 steps, which makes sense. I mean, that many steps could throw you into a little cardiac situation. And then after that, I ended up having a little Leaning Tower of Pisa situation myself and fainted at a nearby restaurant. But I rallied. It was fine. I bounced back. And that was one of those moments with chronic illness where you can have like a bad 30 minutes, but sometimes you can bounce back and the day is not ruined. So after that, we went out for lunch, had my first bite of red meat in 2 years. It was perfect. Everything went down beautifully because obviously it's European meat. Okay, so now the next day we visited the Academia to see the statue of David. And let me tell you, this man was chiseled. I mean, I know he literally was like chiseled to be like made, but like he was chiseled. And also I want to point out all of the women's like statues in Florence, like these women weren't sticks. Like they had tummies and they were beautiful. Where did that standard of beauty go? That was really nice to see bodies that are actual women bodies. But the men, oh my God, they were cut. Also, we waited in no lines, accessibility-wise, great, highly recommend. So the next day was the hardest day, not because of how I was feeling, but because the activity plan was not accessibility-friendly in the slightest. We visited, and don't come for me for butchering the name, we visited the Antonori Nel Chianti Classico Winery, which is built around a castle that's over 1,000 years old, nestled in the hills of Tuscany. This was absolutely breathtaking, but the hills, let me emphasize on the hills, lots of hills walking around the castle. The castle is 1,000 years old. I do not expect it to be, you know, top tier accessibility friendly. There were stairs up into the castle. I did it. I was fine. But there was a restaurant and the food was very accessible for people with lots of allergies. I kid you not, I have never had a 4-course meal this fancy in my life just because of my limitations. I told the chef everything and he was able to accommodate every single course. My plate has never looked so fancy in my entire life. Okay. Sorry, we're just going day by day. So the next day we visited the Galileo Museum, which was the most accessible museum that I went to because they had a tactile exhibit, people who are visually impaired. And then they also had videos with sign language interpreters everywhere. Also, no line. And they also had wheelchairs to rent if you needed one. So that evening after the Galileo Museum, this was probably my favorite part of the trip. We had a private chef come to teach us how to make fresh Italian pasta, amazing sauce. And it was such an amazing experience because she came prepared knowing all my allergies, brought the gluten-free flour, brought alternatives. We made this delicious gluten-free lemon gelatin pudding dish that I was able to eat. And I actually haven't had citrus in probably 6 years. I felt so brave in Italy just trying foods that I haven't had in such a long time. It was amazing. Nothing bad happened to me. It was so good, so fresh. I had red sauce for the first time in Italy in like the past 3 years. Nothing happened to me. I tolerated it beautifully. I've yet to try red sauce now that I'm back in the States. I also haven't tried red meat since I've been back in the States. I'm a little hesitant. I don't trust American food as much as I did in Italy. And I was so adventurous in Italy. So if you're somebody who it's difficult to do those long outdoor excursions, having the private chef, I know it costs money, but having the private chef come to your home, that was an amazing experience and highly recommend. On the last full day, we visited our cousins in Italy and they had a beautiful farmhouse with goats. And you guys know I am obsessed with goats. They had a pig and chickens. And this one chicken was carrying a mouse around in its mouth like it was his prize. And I don't believe chickens eat mice, but it was a really funny sight to see. Anyways, they had a private chef come to make us lunch and she went over all my allergies, made the most amazing meal. I had red meat again. Nothing bad happened. Overall, I just felt so healthy and capable there because when I go out to eat at restaurants in America, there's either one thing I can eat on the menu or there's just nothing I can eat on the menu. When I was in Italy, every single restaurant had something I could eat. And if there wasn't something specifically on the menu, I would just tell them what I could eat and they would make it for me. Like it wasn't even a problem. When I go to a restaurant in America, it's such a hassle. You feel like a burden when you're talking about your allergies. And in Italy, it was just like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. Like how it should be. And I think a lot of that has to do with, and this is just my theory, a lot of things in America are pre-made, you know, frozen. And in Italy, in Europe, they're using fresh ingredients. They are literally building your meal in the back, one ingredient at a time. So they can make those changes. Just a theory. Overall, the experience was a 10 out of 10. And I will say that on the plane, it was a 10 out of 10. I felt the least sick I have felt in years. I came back and I swear my face looked slimmer, not because I lost weight, but because I feel like the inflammation in my body just left and it has returned. It was just an incredible experience. Florence in itself, like in the square, there's a lot of cobblestone. And if you're a mobility aid user, that is one thing that would be difficult. If you are a manual wheelchair user and you're pushing yourself around, I could see that being difficult. If you have a smart drive, it may be easier. I actually saw a woman with a smart drive walking her dog. I'll put footage of that. She was thriving. So definitely an experience that I would recommend for people with POTS because you're no lines. You're not waiting in any lines. You can get the cleanest food. And, oh, another thing I wanted to mention that the bathrooms, a lot of like the public bathrooms you have to pay. If you are disabled and need the accessible restroom, at least for me, it was free. And the accessible bathrooms were so nice. Like the toilets weren't just regular toilets in an accessible bathroom. They were obviously designed for people who are transferring from a wheelchair to the toilet. They had like emergency call thing or call. So that was really cool to see. One thing that I thought was really funny was when I fainted in Pisa, our tour guide went, "Mamma mia," and it kind of brought me back to life. When I fainted in Pisa, our tour guide went, "Mamma mia!" And it brought me back to life. Probably if you're going to faint somewhere, faint at the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You become one with the Leaning Tower, except you make it all the way to the ground and the tower doesn't, which is for the best. We do not want that tower leaning over too much. I think I covered everything about the trip. Oh, on the way home, our flight was delayed. So we flew from Florence to Lisbon, which was about 2.5 hours. And then we had a 3-4 hour layover in Lisbon. And then our flight from Italy to where I live was about, I don't even think it was like 2 hour delay. And then the flight ended up being 8.5 hours instead of 6.5 hours. And it felt like the longest flight I've ever, well, actually it is the longest flight I've ever been on. But around hour six, I was feeling so sick. I was feeling faint, hot, nauseous. Like the blood pressure was not pressuring because the plane, when you fly, it literally sucks all of the hydration out of you. It was awful. The stewardess was coming by. She's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I need water," because they only give you water in like these little tiny cups. And I have like hydration and salt. And I would love to chug 1,000 milligrams of salt, but I can't do that in 3 ounces of water. I was like, "Do you have like water bottles?" Because like I'm like, I literally had 8 cups of these little cups trying to hydrate myself for an 8.5 hour flight. And she was like, she just gave me like the massive water bottle that they use to serve everybody water. And I was like, "Please." And then I literally chugged the entire thing and I kind of bounced back a little bit. But when we got off the plane, standing was so hard. I was so dizzy and faint. And this is almost like 1 a.m. So my dad pushed me in my rollator. We made it through. I made it home and I lived to tell the tale. And here we are now. If you made it this far, thank you for listening. I hope this was an entertaining and educational episode. Yeah. Comment your chronic illness traveling tips below because we all want to know. I'm sure there were some other things that definitely would have made me feel better. Guarantee it. I just didn't know what they were. So I tried my best. I thought I did pretty well and I enjoyed myself and I made it back in one piece. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Chronically Positive Podcast. I know it's been a while. I have been doing the weekly releases. Your girl's been busy, tired, and not feeling well, and I apologize for that. But we will have one next week. Goes as planned. Actually, I shouldn't guarantee that. We should have an episode next week with a really awesome guest. You probably know who she is. If you follow me, you probably follow her. And we're going to be talking about all the good stuff, relationships, chronic illness, and everything in between. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't already, please follow, rate, subscribe, whatever else there is to do on a podcast. Because it helps get this podcast to people who will really benefit from hearing these stories. All right, I'll see you next week. Bye.